Chatters, chatties, welcome home for A Great American Chat, a podcast where we chat about great American media. I'm Chad Maurice, and oh, we're into that depressing time of the year, the week between Christmas and New Year's, when the great American Christmas movies are over, the Christmas celebrations are over. But I'm getting in one last episode before the end of the year. Today we are chatting about My Christmas Hero and A Christmas for the Ages. But first, I have to show you this. Look at what my friend Cricket got me at from Dishing with the Dono Fans podcast. Look at this. Coffee cup says Great American Chat on it. It has my name at the bottom. I love it, Cricket. Thank you so much. Now, let's get into these movies. My Christmas Hero. This one premiered on November 24th. Stars Candace Cameron Bure and Gabriel Hogan, is directed by Martin Wood and written by Jim Head. And this is a story about Nicole. You can't see her because I'm blocking her face, but there's Nicole. She is an Army Reserve physician, and she wants to know what happened to her grandfather in World War II. So the movie opens up with Nicole trimming the tree with her parents. Her mother is a candy stripper at the hospital where Nicole works, and her father likes peppermint biscotti. They hang a picture of grandma and grandpa on the tree and say it is the first Christmas without grandma. Nicole's great grandmother. Well, no. Yeah, Nicole's grandmother. That's right. Yeah, her mother's mother. Yeah, Nicole's grandmother. And they say that grandpa was a hero. The next day, Nicole is seeing a patient named Major Ross. He hurt his knee playing basketball, and immediately he asks her if she is married and asks her out. She says that's not appropriate, and then tells him that he needs an MRI on his knee. He blackmails her and says, I'll do a MRI if you will have hot cocoa with me. She accepts, even though that's still not appropriate. I guess you can't date a patient unless he blackmails you. Then I guess you can. It's all right. They go out on a hot cocoa date. They get these themed hot cocos. She gets a Rudolph, which is a hot cocoa with a cherry on top. He gets the Dasher, which is dashed with sprinkles. Of course, they dig into this hot cocoa and get whipped cream all over their faces like you have to in these movies. They can't have a hot cocoa scene without someone getting whipped cream on their nose, right? Major Ross helps out at the HFW, which is kind of like the VFW, I think. It stands for Hand for Warriors. It's this volunteer place that helps veterans. And they agree to have their next date there at the HFW. Nicole is going through a box of old pictures with her mother. They find out that her grandpa was killed when he was 20 years old. The government said he was killed in a battle in Italy, and he was given or awarded a Purple Heart. Nicole says she's going to find out more about how he died. Nicole and Ross are at some outdoor market. She asks him for help in finding out about how her grandfather died. She says he was killed in 1944. Then they are at the HFW open house, and she meets Captain Mark Jennings. He wants to build a residential rehab facility, but they need money to buy the land. She invites them to her parents' house for an ugly Christmas sweater party. Fran, Nicole's mom, tries to hook up Mark with Marilyn, who is Nicole's coworker. Fran refers to the party as a spirit sweater party. Then they each say how their sweater represents the spirit of Christmas to them. Nicole's dad says, I have a turkey on my sweater because to me, Christmas is all about overeating. Marilyn says Christmas to her is children's joy. Mark says to him, it's imagination, fun, and believing reindeer can fly. Mom says it's all about family and unity. Daniel says it's about giving and sacrificing for others, which is what Jesus did for us. Yeah, I like that. I like that one, Daniel. Nicole says the star on the top of the tree is the Christmas spirit to her because it was a beacon of hope guiding people to the birth of Jesus. Okay, I like that one too. That's a good one. Then we get an emotional scene when Nicole is doing a shoulder exam on a young man experiencing PTSD. He tells her he was thrown from a vehicle. Then he begins to hyperventilate as he talks about losing a close friend. He says his family is struggling financially. Nicole refers him to Daniel and the HFW for help, along with another organization called Santa's Helpers in order to help get gifts for his kids. Daniel introduces Nicole to a basketball buddy of his. He says he has connections at the Naval Archives and he will dig up what he can about her grandfather. Then Nicole is examining Daniel again. She tells him, he didn't tear any of the ligaments in his knee, but he needs to take it easy. She then refers him to a new physician due to a conflict of interest. Wink, wink. That's because they're going to be dating. Daniel tells her he found a World War II survivor that might have known her grandfather. So they go to meet this survivor, and they're riding in the car and sharing licorice. Daniel asks if she has been in a serious relationship recently. She says, no, I haven't been looking for one. She says, what about you? He says, I haven't stayed in one place long enough. I've been stationed all over the world. Plus, I haven't met the right person before now. Ooh, she catches what he says. And she says, before now. He weasels his way out of that one and says, I mean, before. Whatever that means. He asks what her plans are after her time in the reserves are up. She says that she's moving to Olympia. At least, those were the plans before now. He catches what she says, and he says, before now? And she says, you know, before. So obviously, they don't want to admit that they're beginning to have feelings for each other. So they meet with the survivor in his house. Oh, and he looks awfully good for 100 years old. He tells them about the battle he was in Italy in December 1944. He was wounded and was going to be left behind, but he said a corporal stayed with him and took him to a farmhouse where an Italian family helped heal his wounds. The corporal stayed with him until he was healed, and then he left to reunite with his troops. Nicole pulls out a picture of her grandpa and says, was this the corporal? The gentleman gets emotional, gets tears in his eyes, and says, yes, that's him. Nicole says, that was my grandfather. He says, your grandfather was a true American hero. Then there's some party going on outside, and the town is honoring military members with a lights display. This year, the ceremony is dedicated to Nicole's grandfather. They do a countdown and light up shields that represent the different branches of the military. Then Nicole, Daniel, Mark, and Marilyn double date for some hot chocolate. Daniel gets a call. Nicole says, he looks stressed out. He doesn't tell her what the call was about at first, but she keeps nagging him about it like all women do. And finally, he breaks down and says his commander told him he's getting transferred in March. Oh, now it's Christmas at Nicole's parents' house. Nicole's mom lies to her and tells her she is out of butter and sends Nicole out to get some, even though grocery stores are closed on Christmas. She does this so she can tell Daniel how important love is. Ooh, mom is meddling in trying to convince Daniel not to leave in March. Daniel tells Nicole he is not taking the transfer. I guess Fran's meddling must have worked. He says he is going to leave the active duty and go into the reserves. Then they kiss. Oh, and we get a kiss before the movie ends. Then we see Mom. She gets to meet the survivor that Nicole met earlier in the movie. They tell her they have a surprise for her. Daniel tells her this guy and his son contributed the money they needed to buy the land for the new facility that Mark wants to build. And they are going to name the facility after Fran's mother and father. And that was the end of the movie. So there's not a lot to say about this movie other than it's a good movie. It's a really good movie for honoring military and the sacrifices that they make for us, particularly at Christmas. I thought Candace and Gabriel had good chemistry or have good chemistry, although I do think that their relationship was rushed at the beginning. He asked her out during their cute meet, which seemed a little unnatural to me. I mean, he's meeting this doctor for the first time and he asks her if she is married and then asks her out on a date. I don't think anyone would actually do that. Now, the character of the ages in this movie don't make a lot of sense because Fran, that's Nicole's mother, played by Terrell Rothery, she should have been in her 80s since her father died in 1944 when he was 20. And Candace's character would be in her 50s or 60s, which Candace obviously isn't. So Terrell and Candace are both too young for their characters in this movie, but you kind of have to overlook that and just appreciate the movie for what it is. Really nice to see Terrell Rothery in this movie. I'm a sci-fi fan and I've seen her in many sci-fi shows. So it was nice to see her in this movie. So yeah, this was a good movie. It was one of the most popular movies of the Christmas season. And I can definitely see one. Now, let's get into A Christmas for the Ages. So this movie premiered on November 26th, stars Natasha Barré, Kate Craven, Cheryl Ladd, and Anna Ferguson, directed by the same person who directed the last movie, Martin Wood, and written by the same writer, Jim Head. This is a story about Savannah. She's a 20-something with a new boyfriend. And it's also a story about Christy, her mother, which is played by Kate Craven. Joan, Savannah's grandmother, played by Cheryl Ladd right here on the right side of the picture. And then there's Marie. She is Savannah's great-grandmother. She's over on the left side of this picture. So this is the story of four generations of women. So like I said, Savannah, her mother, her grandmother, and her great-grandmother, they're all sitting down at a table for tea at the beginning of the movie. Savannah's grandmother and great-grandmother reminisce about past Christmases, and everyone finds out that Savannah and her great-grandmother have boyfriends. Woo! Some people are shocked about that. Savannah's grandmother, Joan, is not happy that her mother, Marie, is dating someone. Savannah announces she's bringing her boyfriend of 6 months home to meet her family, and his name is Rudy. She tells him he is going to go on their Christmas crawl, where they go from house to house for dinner. Savannah says she would like to know what Christmas was like when her great-grandmother was her age. So they decide to make the Christmas crawl decade-themed. So they decide they're going to have one in the 40s, one in the 60s, and one in the 90s. The first stop is Christmas in the 40s. Rudy and Savannah tell Savannah's parents how they met in a grocery store. Rudy gets nervous meeting Savannah's father, and he's dropping hot dogs all over the floor. Rudy is because he's nervous. So great grandmother's date shows up. His name is Jim. And they talk about what life was like in the 40s before cell phones and TV, and how they would gather around the piano and sing songs, tell stories, and read the Bible. The next part of the crawl is Savannah's mother, Christy, doing a 90s theme party. And why they just skipped over the 60s and went from the 40s to the 90s, I have no idea. They think they went a little bit out of order on that one. Anyway, Joan tells Christy she doesn't like Marie dating Jim. She says she misses her father. But later, she has a change of heart and apologizes to her mother and about her attitude towards Jim. Great-grandma tells Joan, I still love your father, and I'm not sure if I should continue my relationship with Jim. But Joan tells her that she should. They have dinner, and then they break open Christmas crackers and reminisce about toys from the 90s, like Kush Balls, Power Rangers, and Tickle Me Elmo. Steve, Savannah's father, lightens up to Rudy and tells him to call him Steve. Savannah starts to have doubts about Rudy. Why, I don't know. She says she thinks they're moving too fast, even though she was the one talking about marriage at the beginning of the movie. She also says to her mother that he has been around too much lately. Girl, you're the one who invited him to spend Christmas with your family. Yeah, this scene in the movie didn't make much sense to me. Then we get the 60s theme party. Rudy is dressed like Keith Partridge. I love that costume. That was awesome. He and Savannah dance. She says, there is something I want to talk to you about, but let's do it later. Let's just enjoy the moment. That's pretty much all that happens at that party. So later they talk, and she says, I've enjoyed getting to know you, and let's keep doing what we are doing and see where it takes us. So that was the important thing that she wanted to talk to him about. A little anticlimactic. So then the four women, they sing at some Christmas concert. Their men join them on stage. Savannah and Rudy talk about marriage again while standing on the stage. They kiss in front of an auditorium full of strangers. And then they take a bow. And all these strangers are all excited. They're applauding and that they kissed in front of everyone, which kind of was a little weird, because if you were watching the show and someone started kissing on stage, wouldn't you be like, huh, what's going on? Why are they doing that? I don't think I'd stand up and applaud. But anyway, that was the end of the movie. All right, let me turn this off. So this movie, this movie was a head scratcher. It was fun seeing Cheryl Ladd and Kate Craven in this movie. And it was fun seeing the clothes from all the different decades. That was great. But this movie is like white bread. Very little substance, very little taste. I was hoping for whole wheat, you know, something with nutrients, something that fills you up, something that has flavor. Yeah, there's not a lot of story to this movie. The main storylines are Savannah wondering if she should marry some guy she has been dating for 6 months, and her grandmother trying to cope with her great-grandmother dating someone. And that's about it. That's pretty much all that happened. The thing I did like about this movie, I did like that this movie was not about a romance between two people. It is about the relationship between these four women. So I like that, because it wasn't like, it's like your typical romantic drama where two strangers fall in love in 2 days. So I did appreciate that it had a little bit different storyline than most of these movies. And I did enjoy the characters. So for me, this was just an okay watch. You know, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. Kind of middle of the road, so-so movie for me. Now we have to talk about what's happening in January. That's a good question. I don't know what's happening in January. I don't think there's going to be any new movies coming up in January. So I may just roll right along and keep recapping the Christmas movies that I haven't gotten to. I may do that for the month of January. I'm also going to plan on doing a ranking episode with maybe one other person or two other people. I don't know, where we rank the movies, the Christmas movies, from 21 to 1, based on the ones we like the least and the ones we like the best. So we'll see. I'm not sure what's going on, but I will come up with something. I hope you enjoyed all the Christmas movies, and I'm sure we'll keep talking about some of them over the next few weeks. Listen, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on a podcast app, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on that app. And as always, you can find me on social media. Oh, my username changed on social media. It's now at Great American Chat on Instagram, and on X, it's GA Chat Podcast. Yes. So you can find me on those two usernames. You can also find me at Chad Maurice on social media. So I will talk to you again in a week or so. Until then, you keep the faith, keep smiling, keep your friends close, and keep your great American family closer.